So Hiawatha Bray is here, technology writer for the Boston Globe, here in Studio 2 for our Every Other Week Tech Talk. Hiawatha, your column put us on to this, so welcome. And let me start by your reactions to what you just heard from Mike.
Well, yeah, it's exactly as he said. This is a vitally important project if you're going to have this tidal wave of electric cars. There apparently is going to be this huge number of electric car battery factories opening in the United States over the next decade, putting out something like enough batteries to, as I understand it, enough batteries by 2030 to go into 11 million new cars. So we're really starting to see that ramp up. But just as we have to recycle the old school lead acid batteries from our cars today, we've got to recycle these batteries. And it turns out to be much harder because a lead acid battery is relatively simple. It's basically a stack of lead. In this case, you've got multiple very rare metals that you're going to have to separate out and then try to reuse. So something like this is really important, and it does take pressure off of the mining supply chain and give us a hopefully an assured supply of these minerals going forward, at least to a considerable extent. We're still going to need mining, but this is going to take some pressure off of that. It's a great idea.
And the innovations around this, some really are like, you know, like Ascend Elements happening here in the Commonwealth. Talk about
that. That's right. Absolutely. There's this company here, which started working on this, like, as I understand it, 10 years ago before anybody really thought this was going to be critically important. There's another company, I'm going blank on the name, I have them in my story. They are coming out of Harvard and MIT. They've got about $12 million of investment capital in them, and they claim to have come up with a way of doing much the same thing using electricity. Without any kind of heat, without any kind of liquids at all, they're going to pass electric current through ground-up batteries and use that as a way of separating out the minerals. Everybody's really scrambling to work on this, and it's a measure of the fact that around here in Massachusetts, it's not just the deaths of batteries, it's the birth of batteries. We've got a whole spate of companies in this area that have received something like $1 billion worth of investment over the last couple of years for figuring out new ways to build the batteries. Not just car batteries either. We've got a couple of them that are building batteries that are going to plug into the electrical grid so that when you have, for example, windmills, solar power, sometimes you're going to produce more power than you need right at that moment. So they're building grid batteries. Like there's one that is building, it's called Form Energy, and they're building their batteries out of iron. Now you can't make a laptop or a car battery out of iron. It's
too
heavy.
That'd be a bit heavy.
But if you want to just build a stack of batteries and use it to power a city, it's perfect. Iron is cheap, it's plentiful, it's easy to recycle, and they think they're going to be able, and they're building a pilot plant right now, but ultimately they think they're going to be able to build something about the size of a standard power plant that could power a city of 100,000 for several days just on battery power. And that's being developed around here. Car batteries are also being developed. New kinds of lithium ion batteries that are, and they're getting huge investments from the major car companies, from major electronics firms, because everybody sees that this is happening. We're not quite at the Model T moment yet, but we're getting very close to what I call the Model T moment, where electric cars are going to enter the mainstream, and the whole supply chain for this is going to have to be built out. And that means new and better ways to do batteries. And there's a lot of that action going on here.
So I want to talk about this sort of tipping point moment. But first,
yes.
I think the company you're thinking about is Nth Cycle in Beverly.
Nth Cycle. That's the one. Nth Cycle is the other really interesting recycling play around here. That's right.
So let's talk about this Model T moment, which is sort of right a tipping point where... How does one put this in simple terms? You've got to develop the capacity to produce something, right?
Right.
There's got to be enough demand to make it profitable to produce the thing, but you've got to have enough production to kind of stimulate the demand. It makes me think of solar paneling and other solar power technologies 20 years ago.
Right.
Are we in a question mark still about whether that tipping point's going to come? You sound quite certain. Oh, no, it's coming.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. The costs of these cars are coming down. More and more charging capabilities are being added, very slowly, but it's happening. Oh, and by the way, I should mention, I haven't written about them yet, but there's an up-and-coming company. They've got about $23 million. They're based in Somerville, and they're called Spark Charge. And they've come up with a really clever idea to deal with the classic charging problem. mobile charging stations. Basically, they put a set of charging stations in a van, and you can drive to a particular location where somebody needs a battery charge. They set it up and charge your car while you wait.
Like they bring you a windshield now if you're windshield.
Exactly. It's like SafeLight or something like that. They will bring you batteries that plug into your car and charge you while you wait. And they've started running this service in a number of cities, not yet in Boston, even though they're based in Somerville, and I'm going to be writing about them in the near term. But everybody is coalescing around this challenge because, A, we really do need to find an alternative to gasoline. They call them ICE engines, internal combustion engines. So we call them ICE, of all things.
Who knew?
We need an alternative to ICE, but we also need a reliable way to build the batteries, recycle the batteries, and recharge the batteries. And all around us, right here in Boston, in Massachusetts, a bunch of people are all working on each one of those problems. It's kind of cool.
So how did we get here? Is it because of the universities and the technology centers?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you summed it up. We have Worcester Polytechnic. We have MIT. We have Harvard. A lot of this technology is coming out of all of those. People forget, like, Duracell, the battery company. For many years, their R&D was based here. So we have dozens of battery engineers who have lived and worked in this area for years. It's sort of like the cluster we formed with robotics. A lot of the world's cutting-edge robotics technology is developed here because we have so many roboticists. We also have a lot of batteryists, if you will. There are tons of them in this area. And we're becoming, unfortunately, we're not going to become a manufacturing center for batteries.
Why?
Well, because it doesn't make sense to build them here. I mean, for example, take car batteries. Where are you going to build your car battery plant? You're going to build it near a car factory. You're not going to build it in New England.
We don't have a lot of car factories in New England.
Exactly. So most of the manufacturing of this stuff is going to happen elsewhere, I am sorry to say. But a lot of the intellectual property that's going to make it work is being developed right here, right now.
All right, so a couple more questions for you. I can imagine a listener thinking, okay, that sounds exciting and promising, but right now I can't afford an electric vehicle.
Right.
And if I had one, God knows where I would get it charged reliably so that my life functioned the way I need my car to function every day.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, the simple fact is that it's not yet fully practical for a whole range of consumers. But there's lots of things going on that are trying to change this. I'm desperately begging the Ford Motor Company to help me out on this one because, as I'm sure you've heard, perhaps the most closely watched electric vehicle of our time is the upcoming Ford F-150 battery-powered pickup truck.
Bum, bum, bum.
I believe they're out. Have they come out yet? I think they're out now. But I'm trying to get hold of one to borrow and test drive because that is really, I mean, the F-150 is the single most purchased vehicle in the United States. And if it catches on, if an electric battery-powered version of the F-150 catches on, that could be the tipping point because you don't get any more American than the F-150. And some of the early word that I've heard is that it's a really very fine vehicle with a lot of impressive capability. And if that turns out to be true, that's one of those moments when middle America that may be sneering at electric cars when they're Teslas might look at this and go, hey, this will work.
I could do that.
Yeah, I could do that. But it's going to be a while. I mean, it's going to take people underestimate how long it's going to take to do this transition. You hear people saying, well, we'll all be driving electric cars in a few years. No, we will not. People will be driving ICE cars for decades to come. Everyone that's leaving an assembly line right now will probably be on the road in 10 to 15 years.
All right.
And that's just not going to change.
I want to stay on Ford for a second, and it was released in April of 2022. I have not seen one on the road yet.
Right.
So last thing here, maybe we might have time for a couple of things. Yesterday, Ford's CEO Jim Farley made some waves, multiple news outlets reporting this. He said a couple of things. First, he talked about a price war on electric vehicles that was going to drive prices down. But he also called for non-negotiable prices and sales 100% online for Ford vehicles when they go electric.
Wow, I hadn't seen that. It's fascinating, but it makes sense. I mean, a huge amount of this stuff is moving online, and especially with new cars, I think it's quite practical now to buy and sell cars online. I don't think there's a barrier to doing that.
So what strikes me about that is we may not have automobile manufacturing here in New England, but we have car dealerships.
Absolutely.
Here in New England.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a challenge for them. It already is. Some of them are already, I mean, you already have car dealerships doing a lot of their stuff online. I just worked with my son to get a used car, and a lot of what we did, not all of it, involved shopping online. That's already become commonplace. marketplace. And you have one of the leading companies doing that. CarGurus is a local company where you can do virtually the entire car shopping process for a used car as well as a new car online. That's definitely the way things are going. A car is becoming almost like a smartphone in some ways, something that you just pick off a shelf, and especially if it's a new car, without any need to go through an involved retail process. I think that's practical.
I totally hear you. I'm having trouble transitioning in my mind. Like, I don't need to test drive a phone, right? Mm-hmm. I know how an iPhone, for example, is going to work, so... But I kind of want to test drive a car before.
Well, they can bring, if necessary, they can bring you the car and let you test drive it. That is something that they can do. And in some cases, they are doing. Well, they'll just put the car down in front of you and you can test drive it, and then they'll come and get it and you can decide whether or not you want it. That's the way it's heading, I think. I mean, cars are becoming almost like transportation as a service. And we didn't even get into all the stuff that's going to happen with car software, both the good and the bad. That's going to be the next great tech consumer product, in a sense, is the car, because it's now becoming, in large part, a software device. And, Tesla's already shown us that with software that upgrades the capabilities of your car over time. On the other hand, it means that the cars are monitoring everything you do, yeah, how you use them, what you do with them. And the car companies are acting just like the phone companies. They're collecting just gigantic amounts of data about your cars. This isn't just electric cars. This is today's cars. And cars are becoming these data centers. And for better or for worse, they're watching us. So there's all this stuff happening. I'm glad you brought this up. There's endless stuff. I intend to spend more of my time writing about cars. It's really fascinating.
Then I intend to spend more of my time talking to you about cars on future Tech Talks. Okay. That's Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe and our regular guest for Tech Talk here on Radio Boston. Thank you.
You're welcome.